Paul Preece. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to continue with shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. Have you got that now? Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. Say that with me. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. Again, I hope and pray you go to sleep just hearing that roll in your mind and your brain. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. You know what? Our whole life is caught up in this. You work part-time. You work part-time. Work is part-time. Church is not part-time. Shepherding is not part-time. Being a sheep is not part-time. This is life, saints. This will never come to an end. Your work will come to an end. Your family will come to an end. Everything you're involved in will come to an end. But this aspect of Christ being the good shepherd, us being his sheep, and of the church being the sheepfold, shall never come to an end. John chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Before them, not behind them, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my sheep. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these saying. And many of them said, he is a devil, he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to die? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Father, we thank you that you have raised up and set over us, Lord God, a good shepherd, the chief shepherd, Lord God, one who laid down his life who bled at Calvary, who died and suffered the very consequence of our sin. Lord God, that's the price he paid for this sheep. That's the price, Lord God, in which he showed his love for the sheep, that he laid down his life for them. Lord God, we want to see Christ this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. May God help us. We'll just think about this. I want to just take us to the sheepfold again. I want us to see some of the lessons of the sheepfold that are held in the scripture. Christ says so clearly, I am the good shepherd. And he begins to lay out and he says, you're the sheep. You who have been born again, who have believed, who have been saved, you are sheep. That's what I'm calling you. But he mentions something very specifically here. It's the sheepfold. And we need to learn the lessons of the sheepfold. If we're going to spend all of our days coming in and out of meetings, gathering together with the saints, we must understand this term, sheepfold. Now, what is a sheepfold? This is where the shepherd always put the sheep. You never get a shepherd who didn't have a sheepfold. You know, when we think of the shepherd, we think of him with his rod. He would always carry a little bottle of oil to pour on the wounds of that sheep. He would carry a knife to cut out the plagues and those little bugs that would burrow into its back, or those stones that got caught up in its feet. So the shepherd was equipped with all these things. We know the shepherd spoke to them, delivered them, helped them, led them, done all of these things in feeding them. But you know something? You never find a shepherd without a sheepfold. You never find a sheep following the shepherd who doesn't have a sheepfold. Where you find a shepherd, you find one who is always putting people in a sheepfold. That is the will and the purpose of God. Christ says, I am the good shepherd. All through the Old Testament, God is called the shepherd of his people. In Psalm 7 and 20, it says, thou leadest thy people like a flock. So God was like a shepherd leading the flock. In Jeremiah 23 and 1, it says, the sheep of my pasture. That's what God called his people. He said, you're the sheep of my pasture. You are my sheep. So we see from Genesis all the way through to the New Testament that God is always the shepherd of his sheep. His people are never without a shepherd. Old Testament, New Testament, God is the shepherd of the sheep. When Christ said, I am the good shepherd, do you know what he was saying? That Old Testament Israel, God was their shepherd. Do you know who I am? I am God. I'm the only one that can meet your every need. I know your sorrows. I know your sins. I know your heartaches. I know about your broken heart. I can heal your sick body. I can deliver you of demons. I can meet your every need. I can satisfy your soul. Christ was saying, I am the sustainer of your soul. If you accept me as the good shepherd, I'll meet your every need. Now that's what he was saying. He was speaking of his divine nature when he says, I am the good shepherd. He wasn't just saying, I help you a little. He says, I know you. I know you straying sheep. I know every one of you by name. I know your character. I've got your number. I understand your trials. There's nothing you go through that I don't understand. I am the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd of your soul. I'm the one that's responsible for you to get you to heaven. I'm responsible for the health and your well-being of your eternal state. You see, that is the great shepherd. And when Christ stood up and began to say, I am the good shepherd, it says there in verse 19, there was a division there for again. Do you know Christ always caused division? Do you know every division isn't wrong? Do you know when the true word of God is preached, when the true word of God comes, it will divide goat from sheep? You see, the goats need entertain. The goat's just a man. The goats are a rebel. The goats want to go where they want to go. The goats don't want to come under obedience. But I tell you, true sheep want the word of God. And when Christ began to speak, he separated out the people. Those who listen to the word, those who don't. Everyone in this room, you prove whether you're a sheep or a goat by your response to the word of God. If you hate the word, you're simply prove that by not obeying it. You're a goat and you're not a sheep. But those who are true sheep have a desire for the word of God. Now it says there in verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. So as Christ started to teach and preach and say, I am the good shepherd, and begin to lay out this parable and begin to teach them, it caused a division, because this went to the very fundamental facts of their whole lifestyle. He begins to talk about them and what they're meant to be. Now we read, this is John chapter 10 where we're reading. If you look at John chapter 8, what do we find? At the very beginning of that chapter, we find Christ being confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees. See, these were religious men, expert in the law. And what do? They bring a little lady and they say, we caught this lady committing adultery. We caught her in the very act. Look at her. Now the law of Moses says, we're to stone her. What do you say? Now look at this little lady. She's raised in Israel. She knows the law of God. She's a sinner. She's vile in her heart. She's disobedient to God. But she's a lost sheep. You see, Christ said, I came to find the lost sheep. I've got a heart for the lost sheep. I've got a burden for those that stray. I've got a heart for the sinner. Don't you dare in this church ever think, because you sin, God is finished with you. Don't you ever think, because you blown it or made a mistake, that God washes his hands of you. That is not what the Bible teaches. Yes, the Bible says, I'll pursue after you. I'll convict you. I'll come get you because you're my sheep. Look at that little lady. Look at her there. The law condemns her. She's wrong in the light of God's law. God's holy law condemns her to death. There's no hope for her. Everything is finished. There's no chance of mercy or grace or love. She knew she was guilty. Look at her. She isn't defending herself. Too many of us defend ourselves, you know. You better just say, I am guilty. Have mercy on me, a sinner. If you ever try to defend yourself, you're in serious trouble, saints. But look at this little lady. Now what's happening here? This little lady's thrown at his feet. They're trying to catch him out. Religion does that. You see, religion doesn't care about her. Religion doesn't have compassion for her. Religion doesn't want to restore to a place in God's house. Religion has no power to change her heart. Religion cannot forgive her. Religion cannot restore a life. But I tell you, there is a shepherd who can restore everything. Here he is confronted. Now, Master, the law says this. What do you say? Be very careful the questions you answer and how you answer them and who asks them and why they ask them. Be careful of all of that. Do you know what Christ does? Doesn't say a word. Says, if I say I'm here, I'm caught out. He simply stoops down and he begins to write, probably writing their sins. Lust, lies, cheating, pride, covetousness. And you know what it says? He says, those that are without sin, you cast the first stone. You pick up the first stone. You righteous, holy, pure men that are condemning this little lady. See, they said they caught her in the very act. Where's the man? Yeah. Where's the guilty party? Where's the man? Why isn't he here being stoned? You know why? Because they're hypocrites. Yes. Their judgment is a twisted judgment. A cunning judgment, but it is a twisted judgment. They don't care for her. They don't care less. They don't have a shepherd's heart for the sheep. But here's one who does. Oh, she's a sinner, but he loves her. Oh, she's condemned by the law of God, but he's got a hope for her. He's going to restore her soul and put her in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at her broken there at the feet of Christ. We're talking about the great shepherd here of the sheep. And in this chapter, you see it so starkly. As he writes in the ground, one by one they pass away and they all leave. And then he looks at her and says, woman, where's your accusers? Where's the men who are so perfectly righteous that they're accusing you? And says, there are none, Master. There are none, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, he wasn't being light in sin. He says, go and sin no more. Her life was transformed. She'd met the good shepherd. He'd come and rescued her. What happens then in chapter 9? Now look at the followingness. Chapter 8, we have her. Chapter 9, who do we have? We've got a man who sat blind at the gate there For 40 years he's blind. No man can heal him. No man can help him. His life is hellish. He doesn't have money. He's got to sit there begging for every penny just to feed his belly. Begging for food. Begging. Daily sitting there. Just give me something to eat. Give me a penny that I can survive a day. 40 years he's there, blind from his birth. No hope. A blind man doesn't see. I tell you, we're not talking about just a wee glimmer here. We're talking about a man who is absolutely blind from his birth, and he sits there daily. Christ has seen him many times. Peter's seen him many times. All of them seen him many times. Christ walked past him many, many times. But here comes a day, and there in chapter 9, here comes a day. Whenever he's asked again by the religious a question, says his disciples asked him, say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Do you know believers get into stupid questions? The sheep get into stupid questions. Well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? Who cares? Walk with God. Don't you worry about a man's sin. Don't worry about the theology of why he was being blind. Yeah. Like, imagine, did this man sin? That's why he's born blind. It's not very wise. Do you understand? This man's born blind because he sinned. How foolish. But they're getting into theological debates. But I tell you, they could care less about that man's soul. They're wondering, why is he blind? Who cares? This man is in need. He's a beggar. He's got no hope. He's starving. He's got hunger pains in his body. All they see is an issue of theology. All they see is, well, what do you think, Brother Garrett? What do you think about this? They don't care less about that soul. But here comes a good shepherd, and he cares about the soul of that man. Do you know what he done? He healed him. 40 years those eyes are blind, but Christ heals him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Miraculously by his power. We're talking about the great shepherd. I don't care about theological debates. I don't care about all these things that go on in religion. All I care about is the sheep. This is the heart of the shepherd. I care about that little lady. I care about this blind man. I don't care about theological debates. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care about your opinions and ideas. Well, I think I could care less what you think. What about the soul of men and women? Do you love one another? Do you care about one another? Do you pray for one another? Do you encourage one another? Do you care less about one another? Or you're caught up in your little world and everybody fits into that in some place or shape or form. Now when we come to chapter 10, and remember, this is in the context of a man being healed. There in verse 21, it says, others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So this message that Christ preached on the Good Shepherd is in the context of him healing this man, having mercy on this man, having compassion on this man. Now the first great mark of the sheepfold is salvation. It's marked with salvation. The whole sheepfold is made up of those, and those who are brought into it have a real testimony of salvation. Now listen to what it says in Luke chapter 15. And this is Christ again speaking this parable. And he says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto him. Now notice, he's got sinners around him. Men who have failed. Men who have destroyed their life. Women who are addicted to alcohol. You've got people whose lives are being destroyed by sin. Who feel helpless. Who are bound in sin. Who have a love for sin. And he's gathered them and he's teaching them. And he's loving them and he's speaking to them. And it's right at this time that he gives the parable. Why? Because the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. He receives sinners. Look at him. He'll sit with sinners. He cares about sinners. He cares about people who've blown it. He cares about sheep that have got their wool all tangled in the fence. Sheep that haven't obeyed God. Sheep that didn't do everything right. Sheep that don't have it all sorted. He cares for sheep like that. What sort of a man is this? So he goes on and he tells them this parable. What man of you, see, it turns it back on him, to that natural realm. He says, who among you who's a shepherd? Now think about this. Who among you who have a load of sheep? See, he's turned it back onto him. If he shall lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. What a determination. What is Christ doing? Christ is revealing his heart. He says, who is that shepherd, that natural shepherd? He's got 99 sheep, but one of them is lost. This one hasn't been in the fold. It's a lost, vile sinner that's on his way to hell. But in Christ's mind, he says, they belong in the fold. They belong amongst the sheep. They ought to be in here, but they're out there in the vileness of sin. They're not out there saying, oh, I desire Christ. They're not out there seeking for Christ. He goes seeking for them. That's the heart of the shepherd. When you didn't seek for him, he sought for you. Not one of you in this room sought for him. Not one of you had a desire to obey him. Not one of you could have cared less about your eternal soul. Not one of you could have cared less about his glory. But what happened? He said, who is that shepherd? He leaves the 99. See, they're safe. They're eternally secure. They're born again. They're in the flock. They're in the sheepfold. But there's one that isn't. And he says, I'm going to go seek them until I find them. That's the determination of the good shepherd. Do you know he's got a determination? He came after you with a determination. You're a sinner. You're blind. You're stinking. You fail. But he says, I will find you. I'm coming after you, Pat. I'm coming after you, Emmanuel. Ralph, here I come. I'm going to pursue you. I'll seek you in that prison cell. Some of you in the vileness of sin. I'm going to come and search out. This is the heart of Christ. And you know, religion can twist that. That we forget the mercy and the depths of his grace, where he plummeted the depths of sin to dig us out of that vileness. None are good. None of yous are good. Yeah. I tell you, the lot of yous are stinking to high heaven. But there is a good shepherd that loved you, set his love upon you. And he said, I'm going to find them. I'm going to go searching for Duncan. I tell you, I'm going to go looking for the sinners. I'm going to find Fiona in the midst of that family. I'm going to remember the prayers of your forefathers. And I'm going to come seeking you. And I'm here with a determination. When a man comes face to face, or a woman, with conviction, they're facing the eternal God. They're facing an absolute determination, saying, I'm going to get you saved. I'm going to get you born again. I'm going to convict you of your sins. I'm going to love you. Very hard to fight against love, isn't it? Isn't it? When love, I tell you, you can stand, someone comes in, you're going to be cursed, you'll go to hell. But when someone comes and says, I love you, I died for you, I laid down my life for you, I would do anything to get you. And he starts telling them that the shepherd leaves 99 and he goes looking for that which is lost. The word lost means utterly destroyed, absolutely of no good, decimated. That's what he's talking about. He says, I'm seeking a sheep that is utterly confused and messed up and separated from other sheep. It's out there and it's going to be killed and devoured, and there's nothing lovely about it. But I have a determination to find that which is lost. Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come here for righteous men and women. Oh, I know we like to pretend and we clean ourselves up and we'll say, I'm very righteous and very good. You're a stinking sinner that God saved by his grace and his mercy. And the day we get back to reality is the day we're going to know the depths of repentance, because we'll see his love and his mercy. And he goes on, look verse 5, and when he had found it, He lays it on his shoulders. How beautiful. Christ is revealing his heart. He finds a vile sinner, a sinner that's never done anything for him. He puts it on his shoulders and rejoicing. Oh, what joy. Christ has found a sinner. Do you know the day you got saved, he rejoiced. Christ rejoiced. He said, I've got myself a sheep. I saved the sheep from hell. And he began to rejoice. Oh, I know you didn't hear it. Maybe some of you did. Maybe you heard the joy of heaven resounding in and around you. You see, we become conscious of our joy. I'm saved. But oh no, the shepherd was glad. I've rescued a sheep.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what? Christ doesn't rejoice in anyone being wayward. Christ doesn't rejoice in a sheep. Do you know what? When anybody leaves this sheepfold, when anybody strays from the word of God or gets caught up with sin, do you know what he does? He says, you bunch stay here. I'm going somewhere. I'm not staying here amongst you bunch. You know what? They're more important than you bunch in here. My heart's towards them. I've got a determination. We can easily forget. Pray for them the odd time. I tell you, there's a shepherd that goes after them with a determination. He says, I'm not letting them walk off. I'm not going to say, well, that's fine. You finish with me, I'm finished with you. Christ doesn't say that. He says, I'm coming to get you. I've got the 99 safe in the fold. They're nice, they're warm, protected. They've got plenty of food. But there's one sheep out there and it's perishing. It's hungry. It's alone in the dark of night and I'm going to go get it. And when he gets it, he puts it on his shoulders. In verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I wonder if Christ does that in heaven. Guess what, Father? Let's have a party in heaven. Do you know it says, over one sinner that repents, all the angels of heaven rejoice. When one sinner repents, now what does it mean that the good shepherd seeks after a soul? It means that that sheep finds repentance. We're not talking about a Christ who says, I love you as you are. I just accept you and your sin. Come, join the fold. Do you notice that? See, he brought the sheep, and it says, on his shoulders rejoicing, and he brings it home, and he brings it into the fold. He doesn't just say, no, you're going to stay there as a sinner.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that. Repentance visits that soul.
Yeah.
So when Christ seeks after you, what does that mean? When he comes after you with a determination, what does that really mean? What it means is he's going to bring you to repentance. He is determined that he is going to bring you, a stinking sinner or a backslider or a wayward sheep wandering off down the trail. Wonder what that is over there. That's what sheep do all the time. Always wondering, always going, wonder what that is. Well, that looks like nicer grass. What does Christ do? He says, I want that sheep. I'm going to pursue after that sheep. And it says in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now this is what Christ is saying here in John chapter 10. He begins to paint the picture in verse 1 of the sheepfold. But down in verse 16, he talks about the fold again. Twice in verse 16, he uses the word fold. Now the first word that's used there, it actually means the physical brick walls that go around that fold. And all that a fold was in those ancient days, it didn't have a roof. It was a high-walled, square, built brick enclosure. There was one opening where the shepherd simply slept. He lay down across that doorway. Nobody will go in, nobody will come out unless he knows about it. That was his resting place. But that first word there, it literally means that brick building. The second word, fold, it doesn't mean the brick building. It's the fold of God, all of us put together. Do you know the church is the sheepfold? This practical gathering of us week by week, this is the sheepfold. Now, Christ never leaves a sheep without a sheepfold. When it's saved, when it repents, when it comes to Christ, the sheepfold is absolutely necessary for its security, for its safety, for its protection. There are many animals, wild animals there, that would devour the sheep. But here he is, he says, this sheepfold is going to be a place of protection. Anybody who tells you, says, I knew Christ, I'm born again, I've repented, but they're not in a sheepfold. There is something seriously wrong. Sheep ought to be in a sheepfold. Now look at it, this is Christ. He says, you know, the sheepfold won't get you saved. Your salvation, your repentance doesn't depend on the sheepfold. But he says, I'm your good shepherd. I place you in the sheepfold. I know what's good for you. I know what's safe for you. It's in the sheepfold you get guidance. You'll be fed. You'll be looked after. You'll be safe from many animals and thieves. But you know, it's Christ. It's a gift of Christ. God has provided, as the good shepherd, a dwelling place, a place of safety for us to be. It says that the hireling doesn't care about the sheep. Christ cares about the sheep. He cares about the sheep very much. It says that the porter there stands at the door. There's a man called the porter, and he stands at the door, and he opens that door and lets people in, and he closes the door to keep others out. There is a way into that sheepfold, and it's by the door. Christ again, he says, I am the door. And this is the great mark of the sheepfold. Christ is everything. Christ is the great shepherd. Christ is the door. Nobody comes into the church but by Christ. It said, if anyone's climbing over that brick wall, they're a thief and a robber. I tell you, if someone's coming in over that wall and they haven't come through Christ, they are a thief and a robber. They're a cheat. They're a liar. They're a false shepherd. Don't listen to them. Don't go with them. Don't follow them. But see him who comes in the door. Christ is the door. And it says anybody who comes in that door, any preacher who comes by way of Christ, what does that mean? They have the character of Christ. They have the message of Christ. They're a follower of Christ. It says if they come in by a door, you listen to them. They're a true shepherd. They are like Christ. Christ has let them in that door. But if anyone comes over that wall, do you know people can get into the church who haven't come through the door? They haven't been born again of Christ, but they're in the sheepfold.
That's right.
Here they are. They're a thief. They're a liar. They're a cheat. They've come in there with another motive. You see, you cannot be a part of the true church, the true flock of God. You don't become a part of that unless you come in through Christ.
That's
it's
right.
By his grace and mercy. Do you know what it says later in John 10? Concerning those who believe, it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. Notice that my Father gave them to me. Who is it who's the porter? Who is it who opens up the door to reveal Christ to those coming in? Who is it who brings the sheep in through the door? Those sheep that were straying. See, if you show me a Christian without a church, a Christian without constant, continual fellowship, I'll show you someone who hasn't come in through Christ in the correct way. There is something relaxing in their fellowship with Jesus Christ. But everybody who comes in that door, Christ says, I'm putting you in a church. I'm putting you with other Christians. I don't want you to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. Not healthy for you to be alone. And he brings them in the door and into salvation. The great mark of the church is Christ is everything. He is the means of salvation.
Yeah.
He is the means of being born again. He is the means by which God gives preachers and ministers of the gospel. It's Christ who gives shepherds.
Yeah.
It's Christ who gives preachers unto the sheep. It's Christ who sends people unto the sheep. And if they don't come through Christ, they're worth nothing. But it says again that those sheep, when they come in, they go in and out. Why do they go in and out? Do you go in and out of Christ? No.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's saying? It says, once you're born again, you've been made part of sheeple. You go in and out. And what are you doing? He says, you're going in and out to find pasture.
Yeah.
You're going in and out to get something to feed on.
Yeah.
on a daily, weekly basis. In other words, when every time you go looking for food, what are you doing? You're walking through the door. You're going through Christ seeking for food. It's through Christ that you're going to be provided for. Yeah. It's through Christ that you're being led. It's through Christ. The shepherd says, come on, guys. We're going this way. We're going to look for something to eat. But you know what? It's always through the door. Last thing at night, coming back into the sheepfold. And we say, been a long day. Been satisfied. Good feeding. Now let's settle down for some rest. In through the door. In through Christ. Everything is Christ. Do you realize? Every morning, every night, in and out of Christ, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, everything is Christ. They cannot forget. They cannot forget that Christ is everything. The sheepfold is marked by the person of Christ. He's the shepherd, he's the door, he's everything. And he provides for their every need. There's something very interesting about the feeding habits of sheep. Before the sun rises, they're up feeding. In other words, the early risers, they'll be up before all of you. If you're a sheep farmer, you get up, first thing you hear is munch, munch, munch. Munching first thing, all day long. From first thing in the morning to last thing at night. Munch, munch, munch. They're insatiable. They're unstoppable. Sheep from morning to night, Monday through to the following Monday. I tell you, they're munching, munching, munching. They're not Sunday morning Christmas. They're not Wednesday night. They don't turn up at church, say, feed me, and now I'll see you in a week's time again. Christians don't do that, saints. I tell you, there is a hunger in the heart to say a message on a Sunday. Thank God for it. It lifted me, stirred me, challenged me, educated me. But I tell you, I want to feed day by day. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I need a daily feed upon Christ. You know, I mightn't see some of yous for a month. Some of you is for a week, some of you is for 3 days. You better be feeding upon Christ. You better be hungry and munching, or else I'll tell you, you're going to be thin when you come in here. All gaunt face, thin. We're going to say there's something wrong with them. They graze from dawn to dusk with an insatiable hunger. They demand grass, grass, and more grass. Give us grass, feed us. Night and day, last thing at night, the shepherd's going to sleep, putting his head down. Munch, munch, munch. He wakes up in the morning. Munch, munch, munch. I tell you, it's a happy shepherd who hears the munching of the sheep. Yeah. When he goes to sleep, hearing the munch, he says, my flock is in a good state. When he wakes up in the morning and he hears that munching, he says, they're healthy, they're in a good state. I don't need to worry about this sheepfold. As long as that sheep just keeps eating, it'll be here in a week's time, in a month's time, in a year's time. Yeah. You see, hunger is everything with the true sheep of God. Now, the sheep has four stomachs, or four compartments to the stomach. Now, we hear about sheep grazing, what they do, and I don't know where you've seen this, you don't see like cows. Cows take that grass and they munch away, look around, do whatever. A sheep just goes through, head down, and just munches, 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 doesn't it? You don't see it take a bite, munch away, eat that, and then go for another bite. Do you know what it's doing? It's eating quickly. All morning time, first thing in the morning, it eats quickly. Later in the evening, it looks for a shaded tree, looks for a nice place, nice cozy corner, and it lies down there, and it regurgitates the food. It starts to chew again, starts to digest it again. You see, what you hear this morning, you better regurgitate tonight and begin to feast on it. Come into a meeting, you'll get a nice little sprinkle in the food, but if you don't regurgitate that, it'll do you no good. Yeah. Oh yes, you had your grazing. And some Christians, they're only grazers, come to meetings, listen tapes, listen videos, whatever, go on the internet, and they're grazing. But there's got to be a time where we really make this a part of our life, or we're going to lose the benefits. Do you know, you can sit under the greatest preaching, but be a bankrupt sheep. You can be thin, gaunt, because you're not eating. You could sit there, bah, bah, good message, bah, amen, bah, bah. But you you never do anything with it. You're in the same place in a year's time, still following the same little tracks, still doing the same little things, same stinking attitudes, same character traits that have never been dealt with. A thousand times they're pointed out, still never changing. Why? Bah, bah. But I'm Sunday morning every week. Bah, bah. But yet no change. You see, the sheep, it not only grazes, it's not only faithful in grazing, it's faithful in regurgitating and digesting that food. This is an absolute vital. And so God has given the sheep this stomach where it can lightly graze, but then it goes back and feasts on what it has taken in. The sheep are very fussy about the food. They want clean food. Yeah. If they come to an area where other sheep have dung, they don't want to eat that. They want clean, healthy, good food. If you take them to a dirty water brook, they don't want to drink that. They want something pure. Yeah. You see, goats will eat anything. Yeah. Goats will eat briars, they'll eat thorns, they'll eat whatever. But a sheep says, give me grass. Yeah. Give me grass. Do you know they turn that grass into the milk of the word? I tell you, that's chewing. And it becomes milk that can satisfy others, satisfy the young. Even in that church, Christ speaks about both lambs and sheep. Do you know the difference between a lamb and a sheep? And what's the difference here? Do you know a lamb, who he's all caught up in? Who's a lamb all caught up in? It's mom. Mommy. So looks to mommy for feeding, looks to mommy for direction, looks to mommy for protection. Anything happens, it runs to mommy. Do you know what happens? A new convert, very conscious. Now I know all true converts are centered on Christ, but do you know what happens with our growth? When we go from being lambs to being full grown sheep, our utter dependence comes upon Christ alone, the great shepherd. In other words, mommy isn't as important. It's not the preaching on a Sunday morning that keeps us alive. I'm feeding myself. I'm going to be fed to the shepherd. So a little lamb goes from being fed by mommy by directly being fed by the shepherd. That is maturity. Mm-hmm. It is immaturity only to be fed by this pulpit. And you know what I'm saying? We've got the highest regard for preaching. I tell you, doesn't matter how mature you are, you need to sit under the preaching of the word. But there is a growth of maturity where it's not just mommy now, but it's the great shepherd daily sustaining me, feeding me. What else does it say here? It says that he leads the sheep in verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The shepherd in the Middle East never goes behind. He never forces them to go in a direction. Never. Do you know what he does? He walks in the front, just speaks. That's all he does, just speaks. They recognize his voice, they know his voice, and they follow him. So he keeps walking. What does Paul say? He says, follow me even as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. See, leadership that forces people to go in a direction, it's abusive, wrong leadership. Do you know what? You don't need to follow. You don't need to listen a word from this pulpit. That's your choice. Totally your decision. But I tell you, we're going to give wisdom. We're going to preach the word of God. We're going to preach to Christ. It's down to your choice. If you're wise, follow us as we follow Christ, because we're going somewhere. I tell you, we just want to seek after Christ. You don't need to follow. You can just do whatever you like. But you know, when the shepherd leads the sheep out of the sheepfold, he's going looking for pasture land. Do you know what? Every week they change the pasture land. Do you know why? Because the sheep eat everything there, and they won't stop. If you leave the sheep, there's a shepherd, if he leaves the sheep on the same bit of ground, they'll destroy that ground, that nothing will grow on it for years. I tell you, have you ever seen the wilderness out in the Middle East? They can destroy whole hillsides, whole areas, because they eat and they eat and they eat. They're not going to move and look on for better ground. They're colorblind. They can't see greener grass. So they need a shepherd who says, time to move on. Time that we go looking for something here. So the shepherd's got to guide them to where they're meant to be eating and feasting. Christ does lead us. You know, we settle down and say, I'm just going to stay here my Christian walk. I'll just munch and munch and munch. There's not much here, but I'll keep munching, munching, munching. Don't think of moving on down the road. Don't begin to say, oh, give me something fresh tea. Just munch munch, munch, munch. It's old dead roots, just munching, munching, destroying the ground. But Christ says, we need to move you on here. Mm-hmm. There's a depth of substance I want to feed you on. Mm-hmm. You cannot stay here. So he's got to keep moving them. Do you know, I read there during the week of one particular sheep farmer. He had hundreds of sheep. He bought these sheep, began looking after them, had a great shock. One of those first mornings he woke up, 20 of his sheep were lying dead. A wild beast had come in and killed them. Do you know what he done? He got himself a shotgun. And he said from that night on, suddenly realizes the tragedy of a wolf coming. Yeah. Or some other animal that would come in and kill those sheep. Suddenly began to realize what shepherding meant. Suddenly realized, this isn't a 9-to-5 job. I'll have to lay down my life for the sheep if these sheep are going to be healthy, good and protected. But he speaks about one sheep he had, which he named Mrs. Gadabout. Now when he would take them to a field and he'd take them into a new pasture, all nicely fenced in, do you know what Mrs. Gadabout done? Now she was a beautiful animal. Her sheep, said, the most beautiful sheep he had. Beautiful, strong. Her wool was unbelievable. But he said first thing she would do in a new pasture, starts going along that fence looking for a hole, looking for a way out. Mrs. Gadabout, that's what she was called, never satisfied with where the shepherd had put her, always looking for something that she didn't have. So she would start looking round that fence. Time after time he had to go and find her. She was straying somewhere else. But you know what happened when she had children? Do you know what happened? They started to copy her. So it wasn't Mrs. Gadabout now, it was her children. And it didn't stop with her children. Do you know what else happened? The other sheep start looking at her, and they start looking for a break in that hedge, all trying to wonder. You see the need? We are a needy people, church. So desperately needy. Do you know what he had to do to her? He bore with her time after time after time. Do you know, finally he says, she's affecting her children. She's affecting those other sheep. I've got to stop this. Do you know what he done? He got the butcher's knife out and he killed her. He said, I hated to do it, but she was destroying that whole flock. There was a mentality coming of lack of satisfaction. Always thinking the grass is greener somewhere else. Always saying, if only God would send me here and do this. I want to do something great for God. But yet not being faithful in the house of God. Please turn with me to Psalm 23. And we see more lessons of the sheepfold there. Psalm 23, and this is David. You remember young David, raised in the sheepfold. Do you remember that? As a young boy, that was his dwelling place. That was the responsibility his father gave him. Do you know he was the youngest and his father didn't even think about him? He would be out in those hills, his father would totally even forget he existed. But here in Psalm 23, we see David saying, the Lord, who is the Lord? God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So David, in realizing that the shepherd, when the shepherd ministers to the sheep, they shall not want. In other words, every need you have, the great shepherd will meet it. Yes. All the provision, he knows you. Every one of you in this room, he knows what's good for you. He knows the guidance you need. He knows the food you need. He knows the help you need. He knows everything. He knows when you get in trouble. He knows that wayward nature. I tell you, some of you is in it, always wavered. They're going looking through that hedge. I'm going to have to keep an eye on them. They're always fighting with one another. Do you know what happens? There's a nature within sheep. They've got a pecking order of approaching the food and feeding, just like some other animals. But it only happens when the shepherd isn't there. As soon as the shepherd comes in, all of that stops. That shows the presence of a true shepherd. That will not carry on. It ought not to carry on. Yeah. But he would come out. This man was saying about all his sheep would always fight. As soon as he had come out into that field, it all stopped. It was all over. They butt one another, tried to get in there first to eat. But I tell you, all of that stopped. David is saying here, I shall not want. All my provision is in Christ. If I know Christ, my shepherd is here, everything is going to be okay. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. They're colorblind, they can't see. So they're dependent on Christ leading them to new, fresh, green pastures. Do you know a sheep that is fearful doesn't lie down. You bunch have a lot of fears, don't you? Mm-hmm. All those natural fears. Sheep are very fearful. Takes very little to make them fearful and worried. They're worried about what they're going to eat. They're worried about the other sheep bothering them. They're worried about a thousand things. And they're not drastic things, but they are worried. They're a worried animal. And do you know, unless they can be comforted, they will not lie down in green pastures. They'll just stand there. They won't even eat if they're worried. Do you know, worry can stop you eating naturally, can stop you spiritually as well. You're so worried, you can't even read the Word of God. Your mind is so filled with a thousand things, you need the comfort of the shepherd who will lead you into green pastures. Say, just eat. Forget about it. I'm here. I'll meet your every need. Do you not know I'm greater than that problem? Do you not know that I love you, that I died for you, that I suffered for you? Don't worry about it, church. Don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on me. And this is how he leads us into green pastures and say, just lie down there. Begin to munch that food. Don't worry about that person. Don't worry about that situation. Don't worry about all those things that are weighing upon you. Just keep your eyes on me. I am your shepherd, and I'll meet all your needs. Verse 2, it says, he leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep don't like running water. So it takes the shepherd to lead them by still, simple, clear waters. That's what they like. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Saints, has your soul ever been worn down? Has your soul ever been oppressed? Has sin ever got an inroads into your life and you feel devastated? Have you ever fallen over on your face? Have you ever gone down a wrong avenue? Have you ever made a wrong decision? Have you made a wrong choice? Have you ever done the wrong thing? Well, here David says, The shepherd will restore my soul. That's why you have a shepherd, you know. Do you know when you're worn down, when you're bankrupt, when you're empty, you can go to Christ the great shepherd and he says, I'll restore your soul. No physical shepherd can do that. But Christ says, I'll restore your soul. I'll make you alive. I'll revive your heart. I'll stir you again. Just look at me. Allow me to be the shepherd of your soul. Do you know if you're in here and you're living in defeat over sin, you haven't allowed him to work. Do you know, if you're in here and you're utterly discouraged and you can't get out of it, you need to let him minister to you. He can restore you, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're carrying the world on your shoulders and you can't even concentrate to read the word, do you know, he can restore, recover, bring back to life your soul. Put it back together the way it's meant to be. He can put together your life, your Christian life. He can restore your prayer life, your walk of holiness or anything else. Us wayward sheep are always wandering off. But he says, follow me and it'll be good. I'll lead you into paths of righteousness. You know what, sheep? They think they know better. They think they know the will of God. They think they're doing the will of God. But you know what? It has to be according to his voice and his word. I can tell you things about your life, whether they're right or not. And I'm not a prophet. Do you know what it is? What does the word say? Is it in line with the word? Many people say, I know the will of God. I've had it 10,000 times in my life. And they say, it's okay. I know the will of God. God told me. God spoke to me. But why does it contradict the Bible? Yeah. You see, the voice that you're hearing is not the voice of the shepherd. He leads you into paths of righteousness, into obedience to his word. He'll always say, come follow me. It's the word of God. This is good feeding. I'll lead you. Christ will never lead you into disobedience to the word of God. Mm-hmm. You cannot even allow that to be in your mind. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now this psalm is often used at funerals, isn't it? Yeah. Haven't we all heard at funerals? It's got nothing to do about death. It's got nothing to do with a funeral. It's got nothing to do about your body going into grave. It should never be used at a funeral, though it's okay to. That's fine. This has got everything to do with the Christian life. Look at the very last verse of it. It says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, this psalm is all about the Christian life. Then it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is the house of the Lord? It's the sheepfold. So this is all about Christ and the sheepfold. And he says, I will dwell in the house of God. And a Christian life is a life of being in the house of God. Never you think that you can think differently about God's house to Christ himself. The neglect of God's house, the neglect of preaching, the neglect of prayer meetings is a neglect of hearing the voice of Christ. Christ wants to lead you into all these things. And I know there's a maturing, but this psalm is all about the Christian life and how you're to dwell in the house of God. He says in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, Christ is leading them here, isn't he? Christ says, you follow me, follow my voice. I'll calm your spirit. But it says, as they're following him and obeying him, he leads them into valleys of death, of the shadow of death. Now, it's not a valley of death. It's a valley of the shadow of death. Do you know shadows aren't real? Shadows aren't real. They're a reflection of something. And it's usually the brightness of the light shining that causes a shadow. Every trial you're going through, Lynn too, every trial we go through, every time of darkness, there's only darkness because you know Christ. I know there's a better way than this. I feel despondent. I don't feel his presence. I don't hear him speaking to me. But that shadow falls on your life because there is a Christ shining on your life. No Christ, you wouldn't have the shadow of death falling upon you. But notice this, he's leading you into valleys with shadows and dark areas, and you even fear death itself. Something's going to kill me, something's going to eat me. I can imagine sheep think, you know, do you know, it's a real revelation, you know, with Balaam and the donkey. Now God didn't make up that thought process. God revealed through Balaam's donkey how a donkey thinks. He says, why are you hitting me? I've been good to you. A donkey thinks like that. That is actually the thought of a donkey. So he's beating it, doesn't see the angel about to kill him. The donkey's going, this is an angel. So the donkey's been good to him all his days. Why are you beating me? Why are you being bad to me? So donkey thinks like that. God is revealing. God just gave it the ability to speak. Why are you beating me? I'm trying to save your life here. Stop it. Stop it. So animals do think like that. But you know, sheep think like this. Sheep have many fears and worries. Is something going to eat me? I don't like walking through the darkness of a shadow. Do you know where all the growth is? Do you know where all the rivers flow? It's in the valley. Yeah. On the mountaintop, there's very little tape. Goats go up on the mountaintop. Goats want to live on the mountaintop. Stay up there. You always see them up there. But the sheep are led into valleys. Do you want to be in a valley? No, I don't want to be in a valley. I don't want these shadows that around me. But do you know what? When you walk through the dark times, the times when you don't feel his presence, the times when the enemy is stalking you, all of those times, but you're following in Christ. Oh, I wish he wouldn't lead me through this. I hope I'm in the will of God. But you're keeping your eyes on Christ. You want to follow him. You want to stay close to the shepherd. I tell you, you're in the will of God. God will lead you through a dark valley. God will lead you through trials. God will allow false accusation to come against you. God will allow bad things to happen to his saints.
Hallelujah.
He does. But do you know what? He's there and he said, there's feeding in this valley. I'm going to feed you in this valley. I'm going to make you to rest in this valley. I'm going to be with you in this valley. And notice what else it says. Look at this. It says, I will fear no evil. I'm going through a dark time. I'm in a valley. I'm in a low place, but I will fear no evil. Why? Because I have a shepherd. I've got one who died for me, and who purchased me, and who loves me, and who cares about me. And he says, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod can be used for discipline. That rod keeps you in line. That rod will pull you out of trouble. Do you know those ancient shepherds? Do you know with their staff and rod, they were trained to throw them. Unbelievable. Like a bullet. Do you know what that sheep's going for the hedge? Stop it, clunk on the head. But it stops, turns around, goes, what was it doing? Walks in the opposite direction. You see, his staff and his rod comfort them. But notice verse 5, they're walking through a valley, but they're in the will of God, and the shepherd is leading them. Thou preparest a table before me. in the presence of mine enemies all around. There's wolves around me. I send you forth as sheep and lambs amidst wolves. I'm sending you out there, but you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. All you are is an innocent little sheep or lamb. But I am with you, and I'm your God, and I can restore your soul, and I'll guide you, and I'll speak to you, and I know your name, and I know you, and you know me. I'll lead you through it all. I'll lead you through every heresy. I'll lead you through every temptation. I'll lead you through every valley of darkness. And you know what? When all of your enemies are thick around you, I'm going to make you sit down, and I'm going to prepare a table of food before you. Let hell come knocking on your door. I can make you to sit down and feast and eat. Can you imagine a true Christian? The enemy is raging against him. Many enemies, many problems, many difficulties. But yet he sits down with the Word of God and says, feed me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I need something that will sustain my soul. It's a hard time, Lord. I need you to speak to me. Will you just minister to me? And he says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is someone coming through a trial. This is a sheep being led by the shepherd. And he says, oh yes, I'll lead you into dark valleys. The spirit of death can hang above your head. I'll lead you through many enemies and around you. But he says, you know, in the midst of it, I'm going to anoint your head with the what?
Oil.
Mm-hmm. Of gladness. So here we are. We're having our heads anointed. Enemies, troubles, darkness. Do you know what the answer for a dark time is? Sing.
Hallelujah.
Any man afflicted, let him sing. Yeah. If you're sick, come and ask the elders and they'll anoint you with oil. But if you're down and depressed and discouraged, start singing. Yeah. Get your redemption hymnal out. Get an audio tape on and begin to sing. I don't feel like it. Well, sing.
Hallelujah.
Sing. That's what he says. And I thought, for the spirit of heaviness, he'll give you a garment of praise, isn't that right? Just begin to worship and praise him, and you suddenly go, well, what was the problem? The circumstances are still the same. My cup runneth over. I tell you, saints, in the midst of the trials, we can get back into the place of blessing. These are just some of the little lessons in the sheepfold. We've got to understand why God has put you in the sheepfold. This church is a sheepfold to be brought in, be protected in the night from enemies, from wolves. I tell you, that's why God has put us to here. Amen. To feed you, speak to you, to give you good food, to point you to Christ, to tell you about Christ. And if you're careful to listen, careful to take heed of the word of God, you will be safe from harlots and from wolves and all manners of corruptions that come in. Please stand. Can we just praise him this morning? Can we just worship him, thank him? I tell you, you might be walking through a trial. You might have many troubles. But see here this morning before, can you just lift your hands and say, Lord, anoint my head with oil. Prepare a table for me. And you know, as we sing this song and finish, I tell you, just worship him, bless him, get a touch from God. If you're going through a trial and you need prayer, you can come into this altar and we'll pray for you this morning that the oil of the Spirit of God will come upon you. If you need prayer this morning, if you're struggling, then I tell you, come and give prayer and we will pray in faith this morning. But we're going to sing this song. I love this song. You know, this song speaks about a sheep that keeps wandering, prone to wander. Listen, prone to wander. Oh, how I feel it. Do you know this author of this song? He backslid, and he was sitting on a train, and someone got in conversation with him and started to share the song, and he started to weep. He said, I wrote that. And he come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Prone to wander. Do you know what? Sorry to tell you, there's a proneness within your nature to wander. There's a proneness for you to pull against the workings of God. But you know what? He loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you time after time after time. A righteous man falls 7 times. Do you know how he's righteous? He gets back up again. He gets back up. 7 times is a lot. Do you want to fall? No, I don't want to fall. But he gets back up and says, I'm going on, I'm following the shepherd. Got sidetracked. Let something else distract me. Lift your hands. Let's have a little anoint my head with oil. Restore my soul. Feed me in the midst of my enemies. Have faith this morning.